Blog Talk Radio.
So the blues is a good way to come in because it gets you thinking, it gets you up. This is the Sunday show. This is the Sunday show with Jack Jodell and Equine Johnson and myself, Gwen Berry. And I mean, we were talking before the show, guys, but it has been a heck of a week. What, Jack? What is the biggest thing you think happened this week? What, I mean, out of a grab bag, what do you think is the biggest
thing? Well, we're all kind of equally important and monumental from the decision by so many southern states to get rid of the Confederate flag flying outside their capitals to the monumental Supreme Court decisions, one of which made Obamacare okay, and the other one which guaranteed the right of people of same sex to marry throughout the entire country. I mean, that really is quite a change from the way things were just only a few short years ago. Unbelievable. Pinch me, I'm dreaming.
Agreed.
Yeah, incredible, yeah.
You got bowled over by all of it. What about you, Wayne? I mean, was one more thundering than the other to you?
Well, I mean, as I said, I have a niece who was married out in Seattle, Washington, to her partner, and now the recognition of their marriage. Ohio was one of the states that basically filed in the Supreme Court rule, not recognizing any other state's marriage license. So I guess I have kind of a vested interest in that aspect, but I'm very pleased and happy for my niece and her partner. But, of course, the other thing that we talked about beforehand that really concerns me for the working middle class in this country is TPP quietly and under the radar passed out of the legislators and is now on President Obama's desk, and we know how he feels about it. It'll now become rule of the land, and this has been a severe economic depressionary downturn of every 99% of the citizens of this country. And
well, you know, Wayne, what actually happened was they just agreed to cut off debate on it for now and send it along to him, and they had already approved fast track for him. So once it actually comes up for a vote, they've got up till 60 days. And we've got a lobby like hell to make damn sure that as few senators as possible vote for that damn thing. When the final bill comes up, they have 83 seconds apiece. All of Congress, each member has 83 seconds to debate. This is disgusting.
I agree, Jack. And like I said, we do have to call.
That's all really vital, and Jack's right. We need to put as much support and as much grassroots effort into getting other people to get a hold of their senators on that as possible. I on the other hand, did have a favorite this week. This year, sometime in the winter, I'm going to be marrying my BFFs across the street, Jeffrey and Kenny. It's the first
Very
time
good.
In my career that I will be marrying somebody, but I'm going to do it.
Are you a justice Very of good. The peace there, Gwen, or what?
And you know, I walk the spiritual side of the world here, and I have I am a minister for Universal Brotherhood.
I never knew that.
So, well, I don't use it very often. It's something that I've not, found to be something I needed in my back pocket, but it allows me into hospitals to visit people over to hospice or whatever. But
you'll be able to perform your first marriage.
My business partner, Asa, has done it for many years. He does beautiful ceremonies. And I'm really happy to be doing it. So Kenny and Jeffrey, that was all about them the other day to me. Not really all about them. I mean, me.
Well, it's vital to them.
Yeah. Well, they
it's
waited.
Like, Wayne, it was vital to your niece or something?
Yeah, she's my niece. It'd be Carol's, my wife's oldest brother's middle daughter. And as I was saying, my brother-in-law and his wife and all three of my nieces, they were stair-step little blonde-haired hobbits.
Mm-hmm.
The middle one was gay. All three are married,
mm-hmm.
and they're now all, the whole family is on vacation in the inner waterways of Alaska, the fjords of Alaska.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
I was one of the first ones, as soon as I heard it, texted it to them, congratulating her that it was same-sex marriage is now the law of the land. And
right.
there was a very jubilant response back.
And there shouldn't have been such a hysterical reaction all these years prohibiting it or against it, or such a vile outpouring mm-hmm. of hatred toward people in that situation. Who cares? As long as two people are together with each other and they care about each other and they're not going to cheat on each other or use each other, you know, who cares? It's wonderful.
Right.
It's great.
Well, Jack, I'll also point out it was in 67, the Supreme Court's Loving ruling, that it was against the Lovings against the state of Virginia, because the state of Virginia said a black and white could not marry as late as 1967.
Right.
The Supreme Court said, and she was black, he was white, and they took it to the went through, had to go to the Supreme Court. That's the mind boggling.
Yeah, how silly, you know?
Right now, this is one man, one woman, you know, that everybody preaches. But even in 67, it had to go to the Supreme Court to say no.
Did you know at around the same time that the actress Tyne Daly married her husband Brown, I think is his name. A black man, and they were, when they did, well, it was like 10 years later or something, she just on stage this last weekend made a little speech saying, you know, in 17 or 18 states, she was breaking the law.
Right, and isn't that insane?
I want to bring that point back around to marriage equality in this, in this regard. You know, in one state, Massachusetts, you could get married to your girlfriend or your boyfriend, your significant other. It becomes your spouse legally. But if they're on vacation in, say, Texas, and something happens, and they don't respect the marriage equality, then, you know, something bad happens or what have you, and you need to be with your spouse.
Yeah.
And it's second-class citizenship.
They used to be able to prevent you from seeing each other in the hospital and all that stuff. I'm glad that's out the window.
Well, actually, let me give you this example. And here in Ohio, like I said, they were one of the states that had passed laws against same-sex marriage.
Right.
And they were one of the part of the Supreme Court ruling. If, say, someone came visiting, my niece came to visit me here in Ohio, and God bless, you know, there was a severe car accident, and she got severely injured. Her partner could not say, yes, pull the plug, you know, I've got, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Me being the next of kin, I would be the one that they would come to.
Yeah.
And the thing is I am not her husband, her spouse.
Right, right. Yeah,
you know,
so.
Lindsay is. And that's the other name.
There are still certain pockets out there that just they're very frustrated with the ruling and they don't like it. But you know, it's practical, it's realistic, and regarding the morality of it, you know, there are all kinds of straight people that are they're horrible mates. They cheat like mad. They lie.
Yeah.
They you know, where do you draw the line? You know.
Yeah, right.
As long as a couple are true to each other and I don't care what their genders are. I don't care what their situation is. It doesn't matter to me. Let the final arbiter decide what that's all about, and everybody else leave them alone.
Right. Now I was going to say go ahead, Glenn.
Well, on top of all that, too, guys, Have you seen the Republican reactions, the Republican candidate reactions to this? The one that made me laugh the hardest was Mike Huckabee. But what I think this is, I'm just putting this out on the table, what I think is going to happen there is that they're going to lose a lot of votes.
Huckabee wasn't a viable candidate to even begin with. So.
You're right.
No, but I mean, I think that the Republican side of the fence is being seen for what it is in so many populist ways.
Oh, they're so retrograde, it isn't even funny. You know, they're just,
they're
out of it. They are completely out of it as far as people's attitudes on most things go.
Right.
Yeah.
I was going to say, guys, what I like to quote is Arthur Schopenhauer, who was a great philosopher in the mid-1800s, a German philosopher. His quote is, "All truth goes through three stages.
Mm-hmm.
First, it is ridiculed. Second, it is violently opposed. And third, it is being accepted as being self-evident."
Right.
And that's where we are right now today.
Good point. I saw your email on
has
that.
Gone through, you know, Rush Limbaugh ridiculing it with his little silly ass show.
Oh, yeah. Always, yeah.
You have those who violently opposed, like the preacher in Texas who swore he was going to set himself on fire. I asked him if I could send the gasoline and matches. You know, of course, he's backtracking now on that one.
And then
the Supreme Court ruling is, it has been ruled as being self-evident.
Right, yeah.
There's the truth.
Exactly. That's a good point, Dwayne. Very good point. But, you know, it's just, it was quite a stunning week. I mean, that, and then they upheld the legality of Obamacare.
Absolutely.
So that's going to end that debate. That just cut that out of the Republicans' platform right away. Now, I'm not a big fan of Obamacare, but it's at least a stepping stone in the correct direction. It's not the only way to go. I still favor overwhelmingly single payer, but we're not there yet. But it's one way to get there. Slow way to get there, but it's better than nothing. And it's better than leaving people out in the lurch and letting millions of people die needlessly because they don't have proper health care.
Well,
so,
wouldn't it have begun a calamity financially for the medical industry in this country if it were?
Of course. Yeah.
This is all about grandstanding as it always has been.
Oh, yeah. All those needless votes in the House repealing it. How silly. How childish.
And
what a waste of taxpayer money.
Yeah, I was going to say, I forget how many millions, hundreds of millions of dollars were spent just in bringing up a little nihilistic legislation saying, let's vote against this. Okay, well, the vote rate and all this. Here's all the paperwork. The process, the paperwork, the legislation.
Yeah.
They have pissed away more of the U.S. taxpayers' money on that aspect than anything else right now.
And that, along with Daryl Issa's completely over and over and over again repetitive investigations of Benghazi that turned up nothing. And, you know, they just waste time, and they make a big spectacle to get attention. That's all they do. And the corporate-owned media is happy to give them all that attention, and that's the big detriment. But
I had a one-on-one for a full hour because of the progress I'd made within the Republican Party there in Maryland. The Democrats were very corrupt and needed to be purged.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I have, you know, a family history of being in the Republican Party since the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am not a Tea Party. I'm not the current Republican Party.
No,
does not represent me at all. We
like
all know
a Dwight Eisenhower Republican.
There you go. Very
back
good.
When they made more sense.
Well, I sat down. I had a one-on-one with Jack Kemp, who was the vice president candidate with Dole right shortly before that.
Yeah, Kemp.
And I was warning him about embracing this extreme reactionary right.
Mm-hmm.
And these were his words. They were good demographics to whip up at election time. You know, it's time, you know, whenever you have something and you want to just whip up the nut jobs. That's the way the Republican Party really views these.
I'm suggesting, Wayne.
Go ahead.
I'm suggesting that that's no longer viable, that whipping the Brown Party up. It's grown, it's reduced in numbers so much.
Right.
That the Republican Party is in real, real crash and burn.
They're in big trouble.
There is a civil war going on in the Republican Party.
Oh,
right
there
now.
Is.
I will grant you that. And the
That's
Tea Party has lost a lot of their voice.
Thank God they were ridiculous to begin with.
People are now sitting up saying, these people are losers.
Yeah, they are. They are. And they don't know what they're talking about, half of them. And they're ignorant as hell about their country and its history and its laws and what's real and what's not real. These people are living in Never Neverland. They're nuts.
Well, in Never Neverland, let's talk about where I live, the South. Haley went out in front of cameras with the black members of her state legislature, and Lindsay was with her. She said to the cameras that she is putting a bill into the state legislature, and she does not expect any pushback, and it'll sail through to bring the Confederate flag down from the state house. And then 2 days later, a woman scaled the flagpole at the South Carolina State House. She is from North Carolina. Her name was Bree Newsom, 30-year-old teacher from North Carolina, who scaled up to the top and took the flag off.
Good for her.
She said, "We removed the flag today because we can't wait any longer." It's an activist group called Blackbird. She was helping out with the press, but not facilitate the event itself.
Right.
We can't continue.
Isn't Michael Moore involved with that too?
It's time for a new chapter where we are sincere about dismantling white supremacy and building towards a true racial justice and equality. Now, video of her doing it and the cops waiting for her to get down to the bottom have been going all through social networks. It's a really wonderful little video.
It's gone viral. Good.
Yeah, but I also want to mention this because this is a worthy cause. The Indiegogo fundraising service. Her people.
Oh, they're raising money for David Pakman right now.
Jack, will you let me give this David?
Oh, go ahead.
Jesus. This young lady is being held on an inordinately large bail. And you can find in Indiegogo, bail for Bree Newsom.
Right.
Over at Indiegogo, and I'm going to post it in our chat room, the link.
Yeah, good.
They're trying. What they needed, it's actually, I haven't looked in here until I just put it over there right now.
Right, good.
I haven't seen this since about, I guess, midnight last night. They were trying to raise $20,000, and at the time, they had about $3,000 in there. And I'm just looking at it, gentlemen, and since midnight last night, they have raised $107,000.
Yes.
Good for her. That's great.
Yes.
And just so people know, a lot of people don't know what Indiegogo is. It's an organization that will fundraise for you and helps you with your fundraising for different causes and things like that. And they've got a lot of irons in the fire right now. And the reason I mentioned David Pakman is he's trying to raise $50,000 in 50 days. And I think he's about halfway there in about 20 days or something. He's about halfway there. So he's one of the fellows that has a show. He's a young guy that has a show on Free Speech TV. And that's how I knew about Indiegogo. I'd never heard of it prior to his show.
Well,
but I'm glad that they stepped in, that whoever set it up with Indiegogo has stepped in for this teacher, because that's great.
Well, there's not only Indiegogo, but there's GoFundMe, which is another great site. We used it at Roundtree a couple of months ago to raise enough money to get Ruthanna Martifeo with Aaron Martifeo a new laptop.
Oh, great, great.
It worked. Yeah, we raised the money in like 7 hours.
Cool. That's great. That's great.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a huge, it was under $500. But
which proves that there are still, hard to believe maybe, but there are still a lot of very good-hearted and benevolent people out there who are not afraid to give to a good cause.
Oh, I would say there's more than just a few, Jack. I really
there's
would.
There's all kinds of them out there.
Yeah, you know? If you get the information to them and you appeal right. to people sincerely, I think that they're willing to help. It's one of the reasons I think that the paradigm is really, truly beginning to shift in this country. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got the Confederate flag being called out for what it is. I mean, mm-hmm. I was telling you guys this morning, this woman who comes to see my sister, she innocently, very innocently, she thought that displaying the rebel flag, because this is what she was taught, was about being a Southerner and her ancestors, but she had no idea that it was connective to the Civil War it was the flag of the KKK.
John Work Society or the Koch brothers.
It's been cleverly disguised by cynical people to look like, oh, it's just a way to honor your ancestors and keep their memory alive. No, but what it really represents, they don't talk about, is the racism, the lynchings, all the horrible things that went along with the Confederacy. Yes, a little tiny part of it is a reflection to the ancestries of people that lived down south, but that's not the whole of it, and the whole of it is more important than the little segment of it.
Right.
Jeez.
Yes, unfortunately, the bigger meaning was taken over by the Koch brothers' father, John Birch Society.
Oh, yeah, terrible.
Who called themselves Minutemen, not Patriots.
Right.
As the Koch brothers call themselves today. But
right.
also, and of course, the Klan resurgence of the late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
The early 20s, and then the resurgence again during the civil rights era of the early 1960s.
Right.
They morphed what had been an honorable homage to those who fought for the Confederacy in the Civil War.
Right.
Which, meaning is today.
Do you guys see the similarity, though, here? Because as we were talking to Chrissy, I was seeing it very clearly. You know, Abraham Lincoln signed a bill that said equal rights, and under the law, people cannot be held as slaves. And
that's the Emancipation Proclamation,
yeah,
right?
I was going to say, that, by the way, that was an executive order.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
that was a presidential executive
January
order.
1st, 1863. Good job,
okay.
Lincoln.
There you go.
Thank you, gentlemen. Yeah, and it became the law of the land. Mm-hmm. And the southern states, we know most states did, but the southern states relied, their whole economy was based in slavery.
Exactly.
And there was that. And then there was the tradition of slavery, which in the South was brutal and cruel and absolutely stunning with its atrocity to humanity.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
And a civil war broke out because of the Emancipation Proclamation.
The Civil War is already happening beforehand.
The Civil War had been going on for 2 years.
And there are theories out there. A lot of people thought that at the time he issued that, the reason they think he did is to cripple the Southern economy by making the slaves just leave. And they didn't leave en masse. Most of them were tied to the land. And they didn't know any better. And it wasn't until after the Civil War that they migrated in huge numbers up north because there's nothing down south for them to live for anymore.
Well, it was like the Stockholm Syndrome, Jack.
Well, the thing is, though, that this huge, I've seen the alignment to marriage equality being, becoming the law of the land by the Supreme Court this week. This is dividing people. I'm seeing it close by, and I'm seeing it out there in the world, too. Overwhelmingly, the majority of people are responding in a positive way.
Right. There's still a few out there that won't.
Well, there's millions of people who just don't get it and don't want to get it, and it's based mostly in religious constraint.
And that's why we still have racism today against black people in this country on that topic, because there are still people that don't want to accept them, period.
That's true. And there's always going to be people, well, not always, I won't say that. There isn't always going to be, hopefully. But right now, and for the foreseeable generation, there are going to be a lot of people who are just not going to accept it. But is that division a tinderbox for violence, I wonder? I mean, of course it is, because we've already seen it.
Time will tell how widespread that becomes, and let's hope that it is minimal, but we don't know yet. We'll see.
Well, I was going to say, I myself, in my travels, I saw the tension and the turmoil between the Serbs and the Bosnians in Yugoslavia. Uh-huh. And then when the central government of Tito, collapsed down and each one went into their own separate district, then that's when the hatred and the ethnic genocide
began,
of the Serbians to the Bosnians began.
Right.
We can point to Pol Pot in Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Cambodia.
Right?
Again, marching because they were of a different, called themselves different type of a countryman, the genocide death march of them. We have the Cherokee Nation, Trail of Tears, where this government, right, our democracy government, marched the Cherokee Indians of the Appalachian Mountains into Oklahoma, and how many died along the way for that?
Right.
I think it's inherent to human in general that it's within us to commit atrocities to someone else.
Very good point. They're happening. They've happened all throughout history. They will continue to happen. We have to resist them. We have
to
fight them.
That's exactly what I was
trying
to get
to. And that's all we can do. We can't prevent everything, but we can do our best to make sure that they're minimized when contained or not don't happen at all. But they will happen. There's no way around it. It's just human nature, the bad side of human nature.
Exactly, sir.
It really is. But I see so much more positive than I do negative in the moment. I did want to say that.
There's a lot out there to be positive about. Yeah. We've seen it this past week.
This week. But then again, coming back in as the protagonist, I remember what Wayne said as we're waiting to come on, and I have been keeping my eye on it too, is the Greek Prime Minister Tsipras announcing today that the nation's banks and stock market will be closed tomorrow amid fears of financial collapse. And he made an address to impose capital controls, limiting the amounts of funds that citizens can transfer or withdraw. And it came after the European Central Bank stated it would not increase the levels of emergency credit, known as emergency liquidity assistance, that it provides to Greek banks in order for the institutions to keep running. The prime minister blamed the ECB for forcing Greece to impose the measures, you know, with austerity and whatnot for the IMF, which are intended to prevent a bank run by Greeks from draining the country's remaining funds.
Right. Well, they're under tremendous pressure, the Greek government is, to accede to the primarily German, but, you know, European community's demands that they accept more austerity. And I'm with the Greeks. To hell with that noise. That stuff's outrageous. That stuff's got to go.
He was elected on a promise that he would not follow suit with the oligarchy before him. And another thing is that, you know, the chancellor of Germany is just so much mouthpiece for the International Monetary Fund.
Yeah, big time. Right, exactly. Good point.
They want to press people into wage slavery by reducing people from any class structure into wage slavery worse than ever before.
Right.
And it's the same thing that TPP is in place to do in this country now.
Yeah.
It's Paul Ryan and Ayn Rand on steroids. It's terrible.
Yeah, agreed.
Yep.
But the Greek, the newly elected Greek government, I've got to give them credit.
They're digging in their heels. They're resisting.
They're digging in their heels. And I really, really, it's like, you know, I go to bed at night, I throw a white light over the whole of Greece and all the people, because, my goodness, that's like being in Western Europe and mostly in New York on the day that the stock market crashed in 29. I mean, you
right.
know.
Yeah.
It's a horrifying
mm-hmm. Well, the Greek people are out on the streets in Athens and other bigger cities, and even in smaller towns. They're demonstrating almost daily because they do not want to go back to this austerity nonsense that's
right.
being forced on them.
Right. Well, if Iceland can do it, you know, they put the bastards in jail. Iceland.
Yeah, they should. That's
right.
what
so,
we ought to do. That's what we ought to
well,
do
see,
with
that's
the Wall
the
Street
mistake
bankers.
We made in the 2007 crash when those of Sherman Lear's and you know, all the other upper echelon of the mortgage and the international banking aspect abused the system, because we removed all the restraints and checks and balances on them at a Glass-Steagall, and then complemented by more legislation freeing up the whole market, basically because our banks couldn't compete with the corrupt third world country banks, not only devastated the world, but our economy too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, that one hit took me an economic hit.
Yeah.
And that's why I keep saying working middle class, because that's
well,
what
there's,
I still consider
you know, there's
myself.
A lot to feel good about. Look, at we beat back the attempt to close down the or to circumvent the internet, at least for now. I mean, it looks like it's,
right.
it's permanent. But
and I'm
going to
say, Jack, it's a cancer. It'll always come back.
Right. Ooh, I've heard some cop out there. But I think what's happening here is that there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes. TPP is one example. There's all kinds of stuff going on in the background that we don't know about, that surfaces ugly head, and thank God for WikiLeaks that gives us a preview of some of this stuff as it occurs, because there's all kinds of maneuvering going on in the background. They want the corporations of the world want to dominate everybody. They want to make a profit center out of everything, and then in the process, they're going to destroy life as we know it, and they've got to be stopped every step of the way.
Yeah.
Exactly right, Jack.
Yeah.
You know, it was the unions who really made a segue for most of us here in this country and across the world to step up into a
middle class
stratification.
Exactly.
It was no longer lords of the manor and the serfs.
Right.
There was a new stratification created called working middle class.
Exactly. And that's something
and
that should be cherished and expanded.
Right. Right. Well, again, this is the downward pressure that the upper 1% will keep wanting to push down into
mm-hmm.
the lackey serfdom type of stratification, removing the working middle class stratification.
Well, that's that Reaganism, Thatcherism nonsense, and that was so popularized by that damn economist out of the Chicago school, Friedman. What
yes.
a bunch of nonsense, absolute nonsense, and the whole world has been plagued with it for the last 35 years. It's just terrible.
Yep.
We got to reverse that.
I was going to say, it's just something came to mind here, and I want to give this as one example. There's a company here in Ohio that are in the same building that my engineering firm's in, and it's called NetJet.
Mm-hmm.
And the CEO and the CFO were basically screwing the pilots out of pay. They could come up some reason, well, you really don't get this much. And
oh, yeah, they're always trying to do that.
You know, making their profits and their compensation package
yep.
greater for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Thing was, the pilots were unionized.
Mm-hmm.
And as a joint legislation of filing suit against this upper management of NetJets in this one voice, where the stockholders took a look, saw what was going on, saw the blatant, basically stealing of the pilot's pay,
mm-hmm.
that the CEO and the CFO were fired.
Great. Good.
That was the strength of the union.
How long ago did this happen, Wayne?
This was just a few weeks ago here in
oh,
Ohio.
Goodness,
right in Columbus.
That's great. Good.
Right. This was, I'll say, I'll be generous and say maybe 2 months ago that the
even so, that's relatively recent.
Of cheating people out of pay.
yeah.
had been going on for, you know, 2 years or something like that.
Yeah, those and guys ought to be sitting in jail right now.
The case got into the court and stuff, and those who were responsible saw what these executive officers were doing. They fired them.
Yeah, good. They deserved it, and they should be in jail. That's mm-hmm. that's absolutely unnecessary. And right. what it, who did it benefit? Only them.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. They were padding their own pockets with those who were actually doing the work, those who were
mm-hmm.
flying the jets, making sure
right.
everything was on time.
Well, it sounds like capitalism.
Screwing them out of the pack.
So, gentlemen, what do you think about the Supreme Court ruling on the Affordable Health Care Act?
Jack, you take the lead.
Well, I won't lead on it. I'll just say briefly, I've always been a proponent of single payer, and I view the Obamacare or Affordable Care Act as a stepping stone, but only that, in the right direction. But it's nowhere near broad enough or good enough to make sure that we have universal health care for everyone that is paid by the federal government, like Medicare. Mm-hmm. Medicare for all. That's,
Jack, did you hear what Bernie Sanders said today?
Not today, no.
Enlighten our other listeners.
Bernie Sanders said today that he's not satisfied with the Supreme Court's affirmation last week of the health care law. Instead, Sanders said he wants to see the United States adopt a Medicare for all single payer health care.
He's been saying that for months. That's been part of his. He's been consistent on that all along, and that's what I love about the guy.
Yeah, well, he's getting a lot of people listening to him. And what's really wonderful about it is that he is educating people to what's going on more so than any other candidate that has.
And that's why I don't think they're going to be successful in completely marginalizing him. He's going to demand an audience, and he's going to get it. Thank God.
Exactly. I was going to say, Jack, let me state this one here. His numbers of increase of people sitting up, taking notice, gaining his popularity, saying, you know what, this guy's message, we need to be kind of listening a little bit more to him.
Right.
He's catching up. His numbers are improving against Hillary Clinton, who is right now his first target.
Oh, yeah, exactly. She's the front runner for the Democratic nomination. Let's face it, she is. But there are a lot of other, you know, possibly good candidates out there, too, but they're way behind both Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, both of them. All of those other ones are way behind. So, the more he can keep it on issues and issues alone and educate the public and get the public to actually think about stuff and actually react accordingly rather than blindsiding with a bunch of bullshit. We've had nothing but nonsense arguments for so long and side issues and stuff that doesn't matter. Let's grab the bull by the horns, and that's what Bernie Sanders is doing. And I hope Hillary Clinton follows his lead.
He's doing his very best to keep the bread and circus gone. What do you call it? I think that Clinton is going to do the same with her Republican opponent. But the Republicans are nothing but bread and circus. And, of course,
they're nonsense. They're a dog and pony show from the word go.
I personally think Donald Trump threw his hat in the ring because his Apprentice show is being canceled. But, you know,
He's so full of himself, and he has nothing to offer anybody. Donald, you ought to be fired.
I got it, Jack.
And I think the American people will do that.
The thing is also, too, those of the South American countries of Latino descent, Mexico on down, Puerto
mm-hmm.
Rico even, those who would be competing in the Miss America pageant said, you know what, screw you.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even going to bother show up. You're such an ass.
Exactly.
You know, we're not going to give you validity by showing up and participating in your, you know, this Miss America pageant. If this is, you know, you're fully an aspect, really exposed to us, what you really feel.
Exactly.
Well, you know,
and he's
you know
so
another,
phony.
You know, another really positive sign this week like that was, I don't know if you guys saw this, but it impressed me. I'm a big car enthusiast racing, mostly Formula One, but I pay attention to all of it. Mm-hmm. And NASCAR this week, Dale Earnhardt Jr. actually said it too, but NASCAR itself has banned any participants in the racing and any vendors from ever showing a Confederate flag again on the track.
Yeah, I heard that. That's very good, and that's
and
very encouraging.
That's
and when the good old boys are stepping up saying, yeah, this is wrong.
Right.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's a good thing.
And also, on that line, I mean, I read where several huge markets, Walmart, Macy's,
Amazon.
Amazon, everybody.
They won't sell any of that gear anymore.
Removing it from their stock, absolutely.
Yep, exactly.
I think that's
very good. That was really mind-blowing when I heard that. My God, that's incredible. So the supply for that stuff's going to shrivel down to nothing, and it's going to gradually recede into the yesteryear of history like it belongs. You know, we just won't even deal with it anymore. That's fine with me.
Now, here's something that just kind of came to my mind, kind of a capitalistic aspect. Now, all those Rebel belt buckles that are out there in the market right now, how
mm-hmm.
much are they going to be worth on eBay when they're auctioned off? Or in yard sale, or local auctions of, you know, a house and content thing. How much are those things going to go with for some people bidding against each other for them?
Yeah, we really don't know. I mean, there'll be people out there. Will always be a market for that nonsense, you know.
Yeah. Well, so, I'm drawing more of a positive parallel here, kind of a thing. Aunt Jemima Pancakes had a syrup dispenser and a salt and pepper shaker that you would use out of plastic and salt and pepper. Any of the black memorabilia has had a higher escalation in value because it was a snapshot in time.
Right.
And the biggest proponents who are driving this are black folks wanting to buy that old black memorabilia.
Isn't that something? Yeah,
I can see it. I myself would not want to buy, the Aunt Jemima syrup dispenser because, it wouldn't be conducive for me. It's something else.
Guys, I got to say the symbolism of saying, you're no longer welcome. It's no longer welcome. I can see what it's doing down here in the area. There is an older gentleman who, and I use the term loosely, who lives a few blocks away, who's always had a rebel flag. Since all this has happened, like other places, I guess, all over the country, there's more rebel flags out there now. I mean, people are not going to go down sweetly into the evening.
They're
not going to vanish
rebel
into thin air.
In people's yards, for the next couple months, at least for the summer months, we'll say.
Yeah.
Winter weather will take care of the toll itself.
Yeah.
But the point is that it's been a huge week. And the paradigm,
it has been. And events like this don't happen all the time.
No, and I would remind everybody, I know you don't want to hear this, but astrologically speaking, this was in the cards, something big.
That's interesting.
I'm not segueing over there. I'm saying that this has been a huge week, and I think that the parallels with history are a good thing to do because basically we're not reacting or responding on the levels as we once did. And it's a more positive shift.
Right.
And
people's attitudes are shifting, especially
for rebellion, guys, especially for rebellion.
And people's attitudes are shifting. There's no doubt about it. They're shifting away from the big parties. And they're shifting more locally. And I saw strong evidence of that this past week. I saw a brand new show. I guess it's been around for a little while, but not too long. It's a half-hour show. There's a brilliant young blonde, probably 25-ish activist woman by the name of Eleanor Goldfield who hosts this show called Act Out, exclamation point, Act Out. And she interviews activists and people from all over the country. And she had on this past week, she had on Shama Sawant and Jill Stein, two of these two of these national figures who aren't household names yet, but they're national figures. We've been trying to get Shama Sawant on here for weeks or for months, and maybe we will someday. But she happened to catch her. She went to Seattle. Shama Sawant was just kicking off her reelection campaign, and it was attended by 900 people from all over the world. And she interviewed her, and she asked, "Well, I noticed you're running for Seattle City Council reelection, but why do you have such an international following, or why are you tailoring this to the international community?" And Shama Sawant said, "Well, it goes beyond just city politics. Yeah, our drive is equality and justice and all the wonderful things that Shama Sawant and other socialist candidates are trying to accomplish. And it is truly international in scope. And Shama Sawant had a big... Go ahead.
Well, socialism is international in scope.
Exactly.
And socialism is becoming the critical thinker's choice more and more than it ever has been, because people are seeing and understanding, because of whether they're tuning into the social networks or wherever they're getting their news, they're seeing the lies that are being thrown across the screen.
Sure. And they're realizing that it's not Stalinist or communist or terrible or, you know, something to be avoided. There are some very good aspects to it.
Better be careful that Jack Tinkle the Bear is in the chat room right now listening to you. So, yeah.
Well, I spoke truth, and he knows
I'm
it too.
I'm kidding.
What's that? Oh, okay, good. Yeah, so, you know, it's a fact,
well,
though. I mean, it's not something to be feared. It's something to be
really
emulated and adopted, especially by this country.
Oh, yeah.
There are aspects
Josh,
of it that are very healthy and very good
and
very fair.
Yeah.
Right. I've always said, really, I found out later, it was a Friedrich Nietzsche quote. It said, "Politics and the political spectrum and attitude swings like a pendulum."
Yes.
You know, it likes that ambient position.
Oh, we've
For instance,
seen that.
When the corporations start pushing this TTP, basically driving everybody's, you know, middle class economic down, income down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their forces to bring it back is going to become that much more creative. The farther you push it to the right, the farther she's going to go to the left, or vice
That's
versa.
That's right. Right, exactly.
You
it
know,
happens a lot. Our history is full of
examples. To the left, it's going to start, you know, that the force wants to swing it right back to the right.
Very true.
So, nature abhors this imbalance.
Well, and stagnation. This has got a lot of people absolutely having to take the initiative to create their own little sustainable incomes. And that is a move towards something positive, I think.
Right. And Jill Stein mentioned that, too, on ACT OUT. She mentioned she's interviewed at that same fundraiser that Shama Sawant was having. She happened to be there, and Eleanor Goldfield happened to nail her down and said, "Hey, you know, let's have an interview." And she asked her, "What are you doing here?" And she says, "Well, you know, as you know, I'm in solidarity in many ways with Shama Sawant, and it's very, very true. We can't rely on the big parties to do the job for us anymore. They're bankrupt. They're corrupted, and we've got to build it from the ground up, and that's why I'm out here to help her do that. And I'm looking for help on my campaign and all that stuff too. And that's why I hope we'll be able to interview Jill Stein here down the road, Gwen. That'll be very nice if we can get her on too."
Well, Dennis said he would carve us out a Sunday, but it's been rolling along out of his hands or whatever. He does promise us a Sunday coming up. When she gets on, let me ask you, what's the first question that you would ask her about her presidency, you know, getting elected? What would be her primary focus? What would be the first thing on your mind?
Well, I would ask her what her plank is exactly, and I would ask her why she believes that, or why is it that she is running and won't rely on the traditional parties. And I will look very anxious to hear her answer on that, because I know it'll be very profound and very good.
Well, I think it's kind of obvious that, you know, the Green Party, the Independent Party, you can't count on, but the Green Party and the Socialist Party and all of the smaller parties that have a very good, healthy political message for the country and the people of the country are marginalized. And then, of course,
yes.
the Brent Circus that is poured all over them. And yet, like I said at the beginning of the show, guys, I think that that day is getting dimmer and dimmer. And I think that the era of people understanding that there's more going on in front of them than what they're being told over the, you know, boob tube kind of thing.
Well, that's why people
right,
got to
right.
they got to investigate. We've talked about that, you know.
Right, the conservative blowhard radio.
Oh, yeah. And mainstream media. Mainstream corporate media.
Yeah, it's assimilated to it also.
Yeah, it's all bullshit.
And
while
we're talking about alternative shows, I do want to give a plug here to the Finko the Bear show. Over at Authority Smashers, both Authority Smashers and Pinko the Bear have, it's not what I would call alternative because I think along the lines that in much of what is put out there, but they are giving you the truth and they're giving you the truth.
They're giving you facts. They're giving you intelligent conversation and they're giving you outlooks on things that you don't think about or hear on regular media.
And there's a great deal of education going on over there, too.
I
really enjoy the education I get from Bingo the Bear on unions and organizing, and I've learned a lot listening to him.
It's been great when he's been on the show. He's only been on, I think, a couple times over the last few years, but, boy, he's welcome back anytime. He's very he's a walking encyclopedia of good, very important to know facts and stuff, you know. He's a great guy.
He knows his left shit.
He does, big time. He does, no doubt about it.
Well, Glenn, let me interject here. I know in Maryland, and I know it's a fact in Maryland, and I think it can also be applied basically across the country, is the fastest growing political party is the independents. It's people leaving the Republican Party from their, like myself, saying, you guys have gone too far extremely to the right. You don't even begin to start speaking for me anymore. Or a lot of the dissatisfied Democrats are basically divesting themselves of their party affiliations and claiming an independent. Of course, independent in itself is a political party.
Right.
But still, they're divesting themselves of those.
Now, these are the good things, and I really do think there is now in the air that kind of electricity that can help shift the paradigm of thought in this country, so that people begin to wake up more and turn and look with a critical eye and say, you know, that just isn't real.
Yeah, and I want people to be sure to don't take what you're fed. You're just fed a lot of bullshit on TV with corporate-owned media. Look for stuff. Get on the internet and use Google or whatever search engine you want to use. Use stuff. You know, put in a topic you want to find out stuff about. Don't just sit there and accept everything you're told, because a lot of it's bullshit. A lot of it's distortion.
And you've got to
be a detective.
To listen to this show.
Exactly, and listen to this show. That's right.
Just listen to this show.
And watch Act Out on Free Speech.
You'll get the right straight stuff.
With Eleanor Goldfield, she'll keep you posted on stuff. Remarkable young lady. That young to be on top of all the issues she's on top of. Incredible. I'm just blown away by her. She's very intelligent.
There's a lot of people like her out there, Jack, that are putting out.
We got to look for them. We got to find them.
Yeah, they're in the street. Okay, they're in the street. And that's where it's at right now. It's in the streets of this country.
Yeah,
and
you're exactly
the streets all over the world. People are in the streets.
Right.
Especially before we close today, I really want to put it out there
are the real people.
I want to put it out there, sending my best to Greece and all the people, all the Greeks, because this is this is a real shaky moment for them.
Absolutely.
Also, to thank our sponsors at roundtree7.com. That's the number 7. And please remind folks to go over and take a look at the Saturday Afternoon Post with Jack Jodell and the
Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I said it's a tongue teaser at the end of the show. Jeff,
I know. I told you an hour was not going to be enough today. But unfortunately,
go.
That's all we had.
Well, my current post is the 2015 Head and Heart Award. Every year at this time of year, I give away an award to some person or persons who has done an extraordinary amount of good for the human race in one capacity or another. They're from all different walks of life, and the current group is a man and a woman documentary filmmaker. They're both documentary filmmakers, and they're doing a wonderful show. I saw little snippets of it on Free Speech during their fundraising drive last fall and winter. And they're going to come back with a full-blown show this coming up this fall and winter on Free Speech TV. And I did a whole article on them. It's my current article right now, the 2015 Head and Heart Award. Stacey Ware and Gerard Ungerman, they're wonderful people. They're so down-to-earth. They're so real and so natural, and they're just fantastic. They highlight good things. They have a thing called the Respectful Revolution Project, and they're trying to highlight good things that people do for other people or for themselves that are remarkable, inspiring. It's truly good TV. And they're in a fundraising drive themselves. We are going to interview them on this show in two more weeks on July 12th. So I look forward to that, and we'll have them explain a little bit more about what they're doing, and we'll ask them some questions. And that's what my current post is all about. So check it out at the Saturday Afternoon Post.
Very good. Very good, Jack.
I want to remind everybody that it's been a big week. I don't have to remind you, but you all know it's been a really big week.
The best is yet to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happens when you keep pushing forward.
Well, like I said, the progressive mindset always wins because the root
that's
word
right.
is progress.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So
well,
keep
I'm
pushing
just,
forward.
I'm just going to keep my, hippie, leftist, activist, nasty for the good, and join you guys in wishing everybody well. And please keep your thoughts with grief. I think those folks are really going to have a week.
And a happy Independence Day coming up, folks. Next Saturday is Independence Day.
Yes,
so.
As a matter of fact, I'll be flying home.
Good
I'll
for
be,
you.
I'll be back home in Maryland on the fall.
Good.
So.
That's great. That's good.
I give you Independence Day.
Yeah.
Get independent from independence.
There you go. There you go. Well, good night, all. Have a good one.
Yeah.
And look forward to talking with you next week.
That's right. Looking forward to it, gang. Keep up the good work and keep pushing forward, everybody. You will be very pleased with the results if you do so.
I was going to say, we're all in this together, guys.
We sure are. That's right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Gwen, for a great show. Good job. Nice talking with you, Wayne. We'll do it again next week, and we'll keep
very
it going.
Very good.
Okay.
Cool.
Bye-bye now.
Yes, thanks. Bye, too. You know, and good stuff. That's our show. We'll be back next month.